thank you for the unbelievable gift that I received this week. It means a lot. I know you guys know how much time I spend on the computer with the Myron McComas and the cutting and the pasting, and it's a process, and with a computer that doesn't work, it makes my life even that much more complicated. So from the fact that everyone was so generous and so giving, it's extremely touching. I mentioned on Tuesday night, it's almost made me speechless, and that's not good for someone in my profession. We always have should have something to say. But I really want to express my deepest gratitude for all of you, and especially for Michael for arranging it to ensure that I have a new computer. Sadly, I don't have it yet. That's my mistake. That's my fault because it's just been a little hectic to getting it. But today, Mr. Shem, is the plan to get the new computer so we can be able to be back to regular, back to business as usual. But thank you so much for all those that were mishtatif in this. This was an emergency campaign, I guess they'd call it. Quickly ran and very effective. But thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And Mr. Shem, we should only be able to continue together learning many more years to come, hopefully in person soon. But nonetheless, we still need to make the Myron McComas sheet. So this was an amazing gift that I cherish, and it means a lot to me. One quick vart on the parasha, and then we'll move on. Actually, two quick varts that I have to mention. For those of you who listen to the Chumash here, I don't know who did or didn't, but I mentioned the kasha from Reb Steinman, that there's a medrash that says that Yisrael divorced Tzipora before he went down to Mitzrayim. So Reb Steinman has a kasha, if Yisrael divorced Tzipora, why does he have to honor Yisrael when Yisrael came to town? Yisrael is his ex-father-in-law, and there's no chiyuv to honor your ex-father-in-law. So I mentioned this kasha in my shul over Shabbos, and a fellow who is the head of the accounting department at Queens College, he pointed out to me a very interesting accounting law. He told me in accounting law, if a person gets divorced or his spouse dies, his in-laws are still considered their in-laws. A person could have two in-laws. If they get remarried, then they have two in-laws. But in accounting law, in U.S. accounting law, your in-laws always stay your in-laws no matter what. So I said, Lefi Zed answers up this kasha. If Steinman was bothered with the kasha, that why do you have to chiv to mechabed your in-laws after they got divorced? So according to at least New York State tax law, you see that even after a divorce, even after the death of the spouse, the in-laws are still considered the in-laws. I'm not sure what the pshat in the tax code law is, but if you accept the tax code law, it works out very nicely with this yisoid that Reb Steinman was bothered with from this week's parasha. But in any case, I want to just share with you a quick vort from the Chafetz Chaim. We know that as Purim is coming close, and we're hopefully very excited for it, even with all the regulations and restrictions that will have to be in place so we can be safe, which I think is extremely important. We know Chazal tell us that there was a new Kabbalah Satayra at the time of Purim. Kimu v'kiblu, we made a new Kabbalah Satayra at Purim. So the Chafetz Chaim was bothered with a kasha. Why do we need a new Kabbalah Satayra? What was wrong with the one that took place at Har Sinai? So the Chafetz Chaim explained that when Klai Yisrael was mekabel the Torah in last week's parasha, and again in this week's parasha, Klai Yisrael was mekabel the Torah, and they said, you know, we'll keep all the mitzvahs as long as no one's bothering us. As long as there's no outside nation oppressing us, there's no other country that's trying to make it difficult, we're all on board. But they said in the back of their mind, they said, but this is all nice now because no one's bothering us. But there's no way we're going to keep the Torah mitzvahs when we have a pressure from the outside world. And then came the story of Purim. And what was the story of Purim? The story of Purim was that Klai Yisrael had to face oppression and still keep Torah. They had to keep the rules, and they didn't bow down to Haman, and they followed the halacha. And therefore, they made a new Kabbalah. And what was this Kabbalah? This Kabbalah was that even amongst the difficultest of times, we can still keep the Torah. That was the new Kabbalah. Not the pshat that they were lacking in the Kabbalah. They just couldn't fathom how there'd be a Jewish nation that would be able to keep the Torah amidst oppression from the outside world. And then they saw Purim. They said, ah, we could do it. We could keep Torah and mitzvahs even though the nations are trying to bring us down. I think it's a beautiful idea connecting to Purim. And again, just look at Jewish history. How throughout the many, many centuries the Jewish people have continued, persevered through the biggest and the worst oppressions you can imagine. Whether it be through different government decisions that you're not allowed to learn Torah, even going back to the times of the Romans and then continuing on through history of all the times they tried to bring us down. And Klal Yisrael always persevered and said, no, we're going to continue. That was the Kabbalah Satara that took place during the times of Purim, but that amidst all the difficulties, we will continue, we will always learn Torah, we will always be Am Yisrael. Okay, Rabbi said. We left off last week. We had a Machloikis Tanoim. I'm sorry, yeah. Rabbi. Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. Yeah, today's learning should be Eschus for Fuah Shalem before.
Esther Sarah Baschaya Pesel.
Esther Sarah Baschaya Pesel.
And Menachem Mendel Ben Malka.
Menachem Mendel Ben Malka, as well as Michael.
Chaim
Yeshua Ben Hendel. And
Ruchama Rina Basia.
Ruchama Rina Basia.
Bas Shifra Rus.
Besoich Sha'ar. Okay, Rabbi Say. We left off last week. We were discussing a machlokes tanoim between the Tanakam and Rav Meir about what age girls have knas. Does Knas only start when the girl is 12 to 12 and a half? Or does Knas start already from when she's already a Ketana? What age Ketana? So the Gemara says she has to be 3 years old. Why does she have to be 3 years old? Because if she's under 3 years old, her Besulim would return, and therefore she wouldn't be affected by what happens. Now, it's an interesting Rambam. I wanted to get to last week, but we'll have to touch upon it this week. The Rambam writes in number one, Eino oines oya mefate chayiv b'knas, and oines or mefate is not chayiv b'knas, at sheyovi oleh kidarkoi, until you live with her the normal way, ube'edim, there has to be witnesses that saw it. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about is it possible to have a scenario with no edim. The Eino tzarech hasra, you don't need hasra. Okay. This is what I want. At what age does a girl become eligible for knas? By either Enes or Mefateh. After 3 years, until she becomes a beger. So the Rambam sheet is very clear. The Rambam paskins, not like with Meir. The Rambam paskins that ketano yesh lo knas. The Rambam says very clearly that a girl starting from the age of 3 till the age of 12 and a half, she is eligible for knas. Again, we have a machlokes Rav Meir in the Tanna Kamma. Rav Meir says ketano ein lo knas, because Rav Meir says as long as you can sell her, she doesn't have knas. Tanna Kamma says she has knas. The Rambam paskins like the Tanna Kamma. Okay, that's not crazy. But the next Rambam is where things get interesting. The next Rambam, the Rambam writes, this is also in Hilchas Nairu B'sula. If whether a girl has a father, she has no father. Yesh lo knas, she has a knas. The elu she'en lohem knas. Which group of girls don't have knas? Haboygeres. Okay, that's true. A girl who's already 12 and a half. Vamima enes. That's not for today's topic. Veha islandis. And an islandis also has no knas. What's an islandis? An islandis is a girl who doesn't show any signs of adulthood. She doesn't show any signs of puberty. She never grows 2 hairs. She never shows any signs of godless. So that's an islandess. So frek deraivid. What's the obvious kasha? What's an islandess? She never shows any signs of adulthood. So what do we do with her? So until she hits 20, she's a ketana, and at 20, she becomes a begeris. So frek deraivid, the obvious kasha. 1 second. The Rambam just told me that a ketana has knas. So if a ketana has knas and an islandess we treat like a ketana, so why doesn't an islandess have knas? So frekti raivi number 3, kasav raivi gamze tos. Sha islandess l'divri chachomim yesh lo knas ashtihi bas esrim. L'chayr, according to the chachomim, who hold that a ketana has knas, so an islandess is treated like a ketana till she hits 20. Then at 20 she becomes like a bagaris. So according to the Rambam, that a ketana has knas, and an islandess is treated like a ketana until she hits bagrus, until she gets to 20, then she skips to bagrus. Basically, an islandess skips the middle stage. She doesn't have naira. She goes from ketana to bagrus. Her ketana lasts very long. Most girls are a ketana for 12 years, and then they become naira, and then they become a begeris. An islandess is because she doesn't show us any signs of maturity, so she stays a ketana, ketana, ketana until 20, and at 20, boom, she flies into begeris. But frek deraivid, but according to the Rambam, a ketana has a knas. And if you hold that a ketana has a knas and an islandess has a din of the knas, why doesn't an islandess have knas? So frek deraivid, the Rambam l'shitasa is a kasha. The Rambam that holds that a ketana has knas, so why does an islandess not have knas? That's the kasha. So the Kesef Mishnah suggests an answer like this. Number 4 says the Kesef Mishnah, the efshu lutchos v'loy mar shesover rabbeinu. The Rambam held an interesting pshat. The kiven the gabi knas nairiksev. The Rambam says you got to be honest with yourself. In the Torah it says the word naira. And that's why we spoke last week, if Naira is excluding Ketano, or is Naira excluding Bagaris. What is all agreed upon is that the age of Naira is subjected to Knas, the age of Bagaris is excluded from Knas, and Ketano is a Machoikis. So Zok, the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam has to agree that it says the word Naira in the Torah. What does that mean? Even though according to Chachom, it says the word Naira, but the word Naira is not coming to exclude Ketano. Why? Why not? Why don't you say if the Torah wrote the word Naira, it means only that age and not Ketana? Rav Meir should be right. Why do the Chachamim say that even a Ketana has Knas? Zok the Kesef Mishnah, Kiven dem dechsiv Naira chaser. It says the word Naira missing. Chaser ahay, mafkin Allah, kediisa begemar. The Gemara makes a drasha. Ika lemeimar, dahinu davka Ketana, da osi ledehi Naira. Zok the Kesef Mishnah, shtikol Torah. That even according to the Chachamim, that the word Naira is somehow being marbe Ketana, but it's like aim by elch, but it's still like you have to work with what the Torah says. And since the Torah says the word naira, so how do you masber ketana? You'll tell me a stickle Torah. You'll tell me a ketana will one day become a naira. So even though right now she's 7 years old, but since she'll become 12, so she's also Lidei Naira, so she's also included in the parasha. But an islander skips that stage. She goes from Ktana straight to Begeras. So therefore, says the Ketzav Mishnah, that's Pshat in the Rambam. That even the Rambam that holds like the Chachamim that a Ktana has Knas, it's not the Pshat because the Rambam holds that the category of Ktana has Knas. It's because the Rambam said the category of Ktana is also the day Nairus. It's shaykh to the parasha of Nairus as well, and that's the deciding factor. You need to be able to get into the parasha of Nairus. Why? Because it says Naira in the Torah. So Ktana, who's Asi L'Dei Nairus, she also has Knas. But an islandist that's never Asi L'Dei Nairus, she'll never ever become a Naira, because she skips that stage, so she doesn't have Knas. So explains the Kesef Mishnah Pshat in the Ram. So everything's Gevaldik. Avad the Ram holds Ktana has Knas, but for a different reason. It's not the Pshat that the Rambam holds that the category of Ktana has Knas. It's the Rambam holds that the category of Ktana is really a fancy version of Asi L'Dei Nairus. It's also ultimately going to be coming to that category. But if you're going to have a Ktana that will never come L'Dei Nairus, then you don't. So the Birkas Avram, the Bavarm Erlinger, takes this a step further. If you look over here, number 5, he says further. He says, V'nir l'hois of Tavlin. He wants to add a shtickle spice to this Kesef Mishnah. And Pashup Shad, the Kesef Mishnah, is telling you he's telling you an interesting deher, which is worth mentioning. When we learned the Gemara, we had a machloikis Tanakama and Rav Meir, Chacham and Rav Meir, what about a Ktana? So the Chacham said Ktana has Knas, and everyone said, of course a Ktana has Knas, why shouldn't she? She's 7, 8 years old, she should have Knas. But the problem is, as the Kesef Mishnah pointed out, it doesn't say Ktana in the Torah, it says Naira in the Torah. So the Gemara says later on that he has a Reboy. It says the word Naira with an extra, hey, okay, fine, so he has a Drasha. But what's the lumness of the Drasha, says the Kesef Mishnah? The lumness is not Stam, that it's a Reboy, that a Ktana is included. It's the lumness. Ktana is included because she's a Shtickle Naira. She will be a Naira one day. She's awesome L'Dei Nairus. So therefore, she's a Shtickle Naira. She's included. But an islandess who has no Shaykhis to the parasha of Nairus, so she's not included. So we'll see.
How do you know that the Ketana is going to turn into a Naira? Maybe the Ketana will turn into an Ellis. You don't know yet.
Okay, good. So the Pashup Shot would be, is we don't assume. Right, the Pashup Shot.
You have to wait until her showing the signs of Nairus.
Oh, good. If the Birkas Avram asks a similar kasha to what you're asking, Stu, he asks, what happens if you have a girl who's 7 years old and she has terminal cancer and she's not going to live to 12? She's never going to be Asi L'Dei Nairus. So in that case, you tell me she still get Knas, according to this Lumdus? According to this Lumdus, the only reason why Ketana gets Knas is because we look into the future and we say, well, she'll eventually be 12. But this girl's going to die before she's going to turn 12. He Mamash talks about the case of a girl who's a trefa. She's never not going to, it's badiku minusa. She's not going to live to 12. The girl's going to die before 12. And the guy goes over as a chutzpah to be ma'anis such a girl. You have to have absolutely no heart in your body, but okay. He goes over and he's ma'anis a 10-year-old girl who's not going to, who's a terminal cancer, who's going to die tomorrow in a week. So Zok de Birkas Avram, according to the Kesef Mishnah, it should come out that he should be potter. Because the whole reason why we're Mechayev Ktana, according to this Kesef Mishnah, is because she'll eventually get to 12. But she's not going to get to 12, sadly. So then maybe there's no Knas. So we'll see in a second. He's married that. Now, the question that you're asking, Stewie, about islandness, I would answer, is that we don't have to be Choshish that a Stam girl is an islandness. We don't have to. But in a Chanami, according to this, if you have a reason to believe that this girl will never make it to that stage, then L'Chayev, according to the Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam, there should be no Knas.
But what...
I guess, right. Something like that, right. So let's see Birkas Rambam number 5. So Rambam Erlinger writes like this. He wants to add a shtickle spice to this Rambam. The Yesh Loima says, Rambam Erlinger, but that's a Rambam, the Madach HaChom, Chayiv Gam Al Ktano. What's the pshat? Why did the Chom hold that you chayiv even at the stage of Ktano? Ein hachi of mitzad shehipsit besula bekatnos. Geshmak. If I ask you, average person, a guy goes over and his ma'an is a 5-year-old girl. Why is he chayiv according to the Chomim? Because he took away her besula. He took this 5-year-old girl who had a certain status, and you changed it. He says that's not the pshat. The milus habsulim is keres b'kerla oylo b'naira, because the Torah doesn't value the besulim of a ketana. The Torah values the besulim of a naira. Bein b'parashas oyin izu b'mafato bein b'dinaira amuras de beskilo. Because b'chol Torah kula, we always talk about a naira. V'chein b'chi agam nishesarach lisa naira besula. So again, Zokta Birkas Avram, with the Kesef Mishnah, that we're including a Ketana because of Gzeiras HaKasa. But what's the lomdus? It's a shtickle lomdus. Meaning, when this girl's nenas at 5, and now she has no besulim, it's not the pshat that the 5-year-old besulim were ruined. It's the pshat when she comes 12, she's a 12-year-old without besulim. The maisa took place when she was 5. But what the Torah is paying for is a 12-year-old who's missing her besulim. That's the lamdas. He said, you're not chayif what you did when she was five. Because the Torah doesn't care about the besulim of a ketana. The Torah doesn't care about the status of a ketana. It's all about the naira. But when she comes 12, she's a 12-year-old without besulim. Because of a maisa that took place 5 years ago. Memela, that's why you're chayif. So he says, Gishmak, v'zeloi shayach ba'ilinis. That's memela, not shayach ba'ilinis. So therefore, he wants to be mazber a shtickle deeper. We learned the Kesef Mishnah, that's Tambazi. The Kesef Mishnah was saying that it's Xeris HaKosov, that the girls that are subjected to the Einis or Knas are those girls that will eventually become a Naira. He's saying it's more than that. It's not Stam that you'll become a Naira. It's a Pshat that when you become a Naira and you now have no Besulim, the guy's paying now for what happened then. It's not the Besulim of the 5-year-old that he took away. It's the Besulim of this 12-year-old that he took away 7 years ago. Memeo, the Ganza Sibas HaMechayiv is when you get to Naira. And since islands will never stand at the island at the Naira stage, she is not subjected to the Knas. And then he points out the Kasha that we mentioned before, Vehei Runi, and I was more, I read the Lefizeh, in Boal HaKtana Trefa, the person's Boal HaKtana Trefa, Shaloi Techaya Yoisim Yud Beis Chodesh, she's not going to live another 12 months. Vinoide Shaloi Tei Naira, she'll never be a Naira. Lo Yishayiv, she shouldn't be Chayiv. Whatever pshat you'll say in the Kesef Mishnah, but that's clear. According to the Kesef Mishnah, you're only chayav by ketana because she'll become a naira. This girl will not become a naira. Just like an islandess will not become a naira. So, frek the Birkas Avraham, according to the Kesef Mishnah, it should come out that if a guy is ma'anis a treif a girl, he should not have to pay knas. So he writes, maybe he says he can't, that's very different than an islandess. An islandess is a girl who her body will not develop. Here's a situation of a girl whose body will develop, but she's just going to be dead. So it's a different type of category. Okay. It's an interesting aura about, according to this case of Mishnah, what do you do with such a case? But that's the way he wants to be mazbe with the Rambam. Okay, this was all last week's share, which we sadly did not cover. So let's start again from the Gemara number 6. Frank the Gemara Kasha, for those of you that are looking on inside, we're now on Ksubas Chavtesim Abed. We learned an entire Amud Gemara in the last 17 shurim, which is, to me, a very big accomplishment, especially because there are some very large taisis among Ksuba stuff, Chavtes Manalth, but we turn the page on the next Amar of the Gemara. Frag the Gemara, Kash, number 6. Fahani b'nei konasa ninu. Frag the Gemara, all these girls in the Mishnah, they get knas? V'amai, why should they get knas? Ikri kan v'loi si'eli isha. We should read the pasuk of v'loi si'eli isha. If you remember, back in the beginning when we started out 17 weeks ago, it says in the Torah by an oinus that if a guy is ma'anis a girl, he has to pay, and what? V'loi si'eli isha, he has to marry her. So, frek di gemara, why don't we say, isha haruyu loi? Why don't we say that you're only subjected to the rules of knas if it's an isha haruyu loi? If it's a woman, you can marry. Half the people in the Mishnah, you can't marry. We're talking about a guy's manus' daughter, a guy's manus' sister-in-law, all these cases, you can't marry them. So why don't we assume that a person that can't fulfill the din of Isha Haruyaloi also is not obligated to make the payments of the knas. So now, let's just dissect this for a second. In the Psukim, it's very clear that there's two things taking place. There's a knas, a financial knas that is levied on the ma'anis. There's also boishes upagam, that's not knas, but that's mominus, that's levied on the ma'anis. And then there's another din of aloi si'elisha, you have to marry her. So the Gemara is assuming in its kasha that what? That if I'm not going to have the din of aloi si'elisha, that I don't have to pay the knas. The question is why? Why should you assume like that? So there's a shtickle chakir over here in the achrenim. There's two ways to learn the Gemara. Either you can learn the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying, is that you see from the Torah, that there's only certain types of women are subjected to knas. Those women that are able to be married. And if a lady is not able to be married, it's ki'ilu the Torah excluded her from the parasha of knas. That's one way to learn the Gemara. Or the other way to learn the Gemara is, no, it's a svara. That the svara is that since the Torah gave you two mitzvahs to do, it gave you a chiyuv to pay, it gave you a chiyuv to marry her, if I can't fulfill the whole shebang, I don't fulfill any of it. There's no partial credit in the mitzvah. If the mitzvah has two parts to it and I can only do one part, then I don't do the other part either. It's a svara. It's not pshat that the Torah is being megala to me which women are in the parasha, which women are not in the parasha. It's not so lamdish. It's the fact that the Torah gave me two dinim, the Torah says marry her, and the Torah says pay her. So if I can't do the marry, I don't have to do the paying either. Those are the kinira, the two ways to learn. And we'll see in Rishonim which way the Rishonim learned. But that's the Gemara's kasha. So, Frakti Gemara Kasha, why don't we apply the rule over here of Eloi Sili Isha? Isha Haruyelo, she has to be a woman who's befitting. So, says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish, Naira, Naira, Hanaira. Answers Reish Lakish, we have a special Xer Sakasif. It says in the Parsha of Oinus three times the word Naira, and we don't really need, we'll see why, it's not really needed. So I have three extra ones. So says the Gemara, Chad Legufei. One is to teach me that a Naira has Knas, the simplest reading. The Chad Lasuye Chavi Lavin. And one is to include women that are Chavi Lavin. The Chad Lasuye Chavi Krisis. And one extra word is coming to include those women that are Chavi Krisis. So I have a special Gzeres HaKosov. The Torah was Marbe. Again, and how are you going to learn the Gemara's answer? Depending on how you learn the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara's answer is going to be that I have a special Zeis HaKosav, that even though these women I taka can't marry, and I can't fulfill the din of Eloi Sili Isha, Aval Pekin, I still have to give them Knas because of the special Zeis HaKosav. Let's see Rashi. So to Rashi number 7, the Amai Yesh Lahem Knas Lenairis Psulas. Why is there Knas to the women in the Mishnah that are Psulas? Ikri Kan Amas Nisen Makshi. We're asking on the Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, Naira, Naira, Hanaira. But Oinus Ksiv. This is written by Oinus. What does it say? It says, Kimotzi Yish Naira Besula. If a man will find a woman, a girl who's a Naira Besula, Uksiv Basre, and it says right after that, Hanaira, the man that lived with her will give to the father of the Naira. Vidashina Naira Yisera. We dash it from the extra word Naira. Vehe Yisera, from the extra Hey. The Hanaira. What does it mean? The Naira. The Masal Mechta, the Nasan Lavia. Because she's given to her father. Whose father? The girl we just spoke about 2 seconds ago. So it's an extra word. So chad legufei. So the first word is used to teach me l'ksheira, that a regular naira gets knas. And the other two is one for chayvei lavin and one for chayvei krisis. Okay, good. Then the Gemara continues. Rav Papa Amar, Besula, Besulois, Habesulois. Rav Papa has a totally different drasha. Not from the word naira, hanaira, venaira, but from the word besulois. Now it's interesting. Where's the word besulois written? By Mefate. The word Naira is written by Oinus. The word Besulos is written by Mefate. And if Papa has a similar drasha, if Papa Amar Besulois, Besula, Besulois, Ha Besulois, the same drasha, it says the word Besula more than it needs to. So Chad Legufe wants to teach me that a regular kosher girl gets Mefate. V'chad Lasuye Chavi Lav, V'chad Lasuye Chavi Krisus. Let's just see Rashi. Besula, Besulois, Ha Besulois. B'mefate Ksiv. This is by Mefate. It says V'chifate Ish Besula. The man will be mafata, a girl who's a besula. The karach rina basve, in the pasuk right after it says, kesev yishkoil kimoyar habesulais. He pays like the moar habesulais, the payment of a besulais. Umasi lemechtav kimoar habesulais. Why the hey? Ha, tlas, darshinan. We have three drushes. Hey yisera, u besulais. It says the besulais, that's plural. The masi lemechtav kimoyar velishtoik. It could have just said the value of her. So, same drusha, three, chavi lavin, chavi krisis, and regular. Okay, let's just go shtickle weiter, and then we'll come back and break down this Gemara a little better. Fact Gemara Kasha, Rav Papa, my time with Amakirish Lakish. Why does Rav Papa, who said it's because of Besula, Besula's Habesulais, why doesn't he like the Naira Joshua? Why didn't he like the first Pshat in the Gemara? So Zad Gemara, Rav Papa, my time with Amakirish Lakish, Ahumi Boilei. No, because he uses one of the Nairas for something else. And this is something we'll need to get to Belineda later today or not next week. Lichada Abaya. For a din of Abaya. What's Abaya's din? Amar Abaya, Ba'a lehu mesa. What happens if a guy is Ba'a lehu? Guy's ma'anes a girl. Okay? And the girl dies. The girl dies. Ba'a lehu mesa. And the girl dies before Amad Bedin. So the halachi is potter. The ma'anes is potter. Why? Shinemaka says in the Torah, of a nosan la via naira. It says you have to give the money to the father of the naira. So what? So to Gemara, v'nos la via naira, v'la via naira, v'la via mesa. She's not the father of the girl because she's dead, sadly. So therefore, that's why that word is not open. So now what we'll have to Blunet to come back to is, this is a very serious dikadin. The Nasan Avi Hanayir of Loi Lavi Mesa, how is that any different than a situation where the girl become a begaris in between? What's the difference between a case where the girl dies between this act and Amod Bedin, and a case where the girl becomes a begaris between the act and Amod Bedin? Again, both cases, at the time of the act, she was a Bar Chiyuvah. Now when you get to Amod Bedin, either she's a begaris or she's on her own, or she died, and therefore there's no chiv. We'll have to bring that to get back to that. There's a Rashash, with a Reb Chaim. We'll have to cover that. But that's what the Gemara says. So then the Gemara... Yeah?
It's because it says, how is that mashma that even if she's dead, well, you still her father even if she died?
So the question is, what does it mean to be the father of a Naira? Is there any significance of being the father of a deceased person? So that's what Reb Chaim is going to talk about. Hopefully we'll get to it. Is the pshat, when the girl dies, everything ends? And the bailus that the father has is removed and everything changes? Or perhaps not? Perhaps death is just a technical, severing of the relationship, as opposed to, let's say, boigeres, where she grows up and now she's her own person. The Reb Chaim is going to get to that. Hopefully, b'lineder, we will see it. If not this week, b'lineder next week, we'll try to break that down. I'm just trying to give you guys the heads up, the cameo commercials of what to expect for next week. Okay, so Zakta Gemara Vaiter. So now the Gemara flips the case the other way. So now the Gemara says, Reish Lakish my time alone with Papa. Why didn't Reish Lakish like her papa's pshat? So the Gemara says, no, he also can't use those psukim. Why? Homi bar l'exer shavah. He needs to use those words for exer shavah. The Tanya that writes the kesef yishko kamar abesula. It says by mefata, you give kesef yishko, silver, you should give like the value of a besulais. Shiyezeh kamar abesulais, umar abesulais kezeh. We actually make a drasha where we compare oinus to mefata. We learn it from oinus how much, and we learn it from mefata, we learn what type of coins to give. Okay, I'm not spending a lot of time on this because it's a little complicated and cheshbeni, but I just want to get to the end of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, "Veshlokish nami boyle la baya, repub nami boyle l'gzer shava." Each man the omer has to come onto the other one's pshat anyways. So Ella the Gemara says like this: "Shit the kroksiv." There's taka six pshukim. Ksiv nara nara hanara. There's three ribuyim by naira. Besula besulis ha besulis, and there's three by besulis. So you have six. So, Trey Legufe, each one needs their own, so now you're down to four. Chadik Dabaya, one's for Abaya, Chadik Zereshova. Israel Trey, you're left with two. Chadla Suyechavi Lavin, Vachadla Suyechavi Krisis. Okay, this is what we need. We need, at the end of the day, that the reason why there's Oinis and Mufata for Echavi Lavin, and the reason why there's Oinis and Mufata for Chavi Krisis, even though you can't marry them, and you cannot fulfill Veloy Seel Yisha, there's a special Xeris Akosov that Afal Pika, and you still have to pay Knas. So again, the havamina of the Gemara was that since it says in the Torah v'loy si'el yisha, you only pay kenas if you can fulfill v'loy si'el yisha, kamash b'lon, not so. So now, what's the kamash b'lon? So the lomdisha way of saying it is the kamash b'lon is that there's two separate dinim. That v'loy si'el yisha is independent of the payment. And if you can do one, you do one. If you can do two, you do two. They're independent things. The only ha'ara l'fizeh would be, if that's true, so why do I need two? One for Chayvi Lav and one for Chayvi Krisis. Why don't I say that once I know from one that the Torah doesn't care about being able to be married, so then why should it matter why I'm not being married? Meaning, if the Gezeiros HaKosev teaches me that if the Torah doesn't care about Veloy Si'el Yisha, that Veloy Si'el Yisha is not ma'akiv in the payment and the marriage are two separate dinim, so why do I need two ribuyim? Shouldn't one ribuy suffice? Once the Torah tells me that you don't need to get married, that's it. Marriage is not the end, beginning and end all of the payment of the knas. They're two separate dinim. Then it's a shtickle shver. Why do you need two? Bishlomi, you say the other way. The other way of saying it is that the shaila is which women are in the parsha. So I say that only those women that can get married are in the parsha. So then the Torah comes along and is marba something. What's the Torah marba? That even chavi lavin are in the parsha. So then I have no right to include chavi krisis. Those are two different types of women. But if the pshat was only that the Torah was trying to figure out, is payment and marriage synonymous? So once I know payment and marriage are not synonymous, so why should it matter what type of marriage it is? It's a marriage that's chavi lavin, it's a marriage, but who cares? Because there's a cost of the Reboy told me that marriage and payment are not synonymous. So then I don't know why you need two ribuyim then. It's a shtickle ha'ara. I saw this talking to Sefer, that depending on how you learn the Gemara Shailo is going to be how you learn the Gemara's Teretz. Again, if the Gemara's kasha is that the Veloy Si'el Yisha teaches me which women were in the parasha b'chlal of Oinus Mafate. It's the way of the Torah telling us which women I the Torah give Oinus Mafate money to. So if you're not in the Veloy Si'el Yisha, you're not included in the parasha. On that, the Gemara says, no, I have a special pasuk that includes these women. Meaning, even though these women shouldn't be in the parasha because they don't have marriage, but I include them anyways. So then I understand you need another pasuk to include all different types of groups. You need one pasuk to include Chavi Lavin, and you need another pasuk for Chavi Krisis. But if the pshat in the Gemara was the other way we're saying it, that the shayla of the Gemara was is that it's an all or nothing deal, that you have to be able to fulfill both steps in order to have step number one, and in order to get payment, you have to get married, and that the Gemara answers, no, you don't need. It's not true. The kamash malot of the Ribbe Hakra is that it's not true. You don't need Loi Si'el Yisha to get you knas. So once I know that by one, why do I need a separate drasha for Chayvi Krisis and Chayvi Lavin? Let one suffice. Okay, it's a shtickle har. So let's go back and tackle this Gemara from the beginning. Again, the Gemara starts...
It also turns out, from my understanding, that you're using one pasuk for Gzeira Shava for both Oynes Umefadda.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah, there's a lot we could...
I didn't think that you could do that originally.
Very good. Yeah, there's a lot of ha'aris we can make this little stick of Gemara. I'm choosing not to get into some of the nitty-gritties because I think it might get us a little off topic and a little off the beaten path. But yeah, that's a good arachaim, 100%. How exactly the Gemara changed its tune. So let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara. Let's start from the top. The Gemara had a kasha that we should read the words of Eloi Sealisha. Now, where does it say the words of Eloi Sealisha? It says it by Oynes. So right off the bat, the Gemara's kasha should only be on Oynes. It shouldn't be on Mefata. Mefata, I have no problem, because it never says the words of Eloi Sealisha by Mefata. That's question number one that the Rishonim deal with. And the Rishonim obviously answer that we know from the end of the Gemara that that there's a similarity between the two of them. For example, if you look over here, number 8, the Sefer Zera Yitzchak asks his kasha. He quotes it from the Sefer Lechem Aviram. Hiksha b'lechem Aviram de'ema masis and ayri b'mefote. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about mefote. The haikra ayri b'oynis. And the whole din of v'loy si'elish is only by oynis. So maybe only by oynis you need v'loy si'elish, but not by mefate. So he answers, he says that's not a kasha. Why? Devade de din oynis mefate din echadam. You can't play that card. Because we know at the end of the day that oynis and mefate are very similar. Or they have one din. And to say that the whole din of the Mishnah, when you have Mefata, is only to Psulim, is only by Mefata, not by Oynes, that would be a very big doichik, and therefore he doesn't like such a possibility. Okay. If you look over here, number 9, the Mitzpah Esen, in the back of the Gemara, he has a good kasha. He quotes a kasha from the Pnei Yeshua. The Hikshah B'Sefer Pnei Yeshua, number 9. The Amai Psika L'Talmud L'Hakshis Hachi. What was the basis for the Gemara's cash? Again, let's remind ourselves. In the Torah, there's two things. There's when a guy's ma'anis a girl, he has to pay money to the father. And there's another din. That if the father wants, and the girl wants, then you have to marry him as well. Separate din. Pash is two independent dinim. So, for Ekta Pnei Yeshua, B'chla, what was the Gemara's cash? The Amai P'sikla Tamudi L'Hakshis Hachi, the Menolon, the Talia, Kra, D'chsev, V'nosan, Avi, Anayri, B'loi, Si, Elisha. Mechit taste the two dinim, Atalo, Zebzeh. What was the whole basis of the Gemara's Kasha? In fact, the Gemara Kasha, it says V'loi Si'elisha, so what? V'loi Si'elisha is not a description of who gets Knas. V'loi Si'elisha is a din, second din in the parasha of Oynes. Din number one is payment, din number two is marriage. So why is it so partial that the two are taller zeh b'zeh? So he writes over here his own teretz. So he says like this. He says, no, he thinks the Gemara's Kasha is beautiful. He says, why? He says the nira the tzarek the yeshlomi the kushta gemara kam koy lemaydi komer leel. He says this gemara's kasha is placed perfectly. This gemara's kasha is placed perfectly after the last gemara we just learned. What was the last gemara we learned? A machloikas of meir in the Tana Kabbalah. The gemara told us that our mishnah holds like a meir that a ketana has no knas. Why? So he says the yeshlomi the kushta hamasnis in the ketana ilonaris naira in ketana loy. Our gemara is coming off of the mishnah that made the diuk that naira in ketana loy. Ketana has no knas. Like Rav Meir. Now, why does Rav Meir say that? We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. Why does Rav Meir say Ketana has no Knas? At least what the Gemara says, not what the Shittim Kabetza says. The Gemara says, because Rav Meir dashes from the words, V'loi Si'elisha, only a girl who's able to get married. A girl who can marry herself off. So therefore he says, L'shitosa de Rav Meir parach shaper. V'hani b'nei knosin, d'ho l'kamo mefarash time, de Rav Meir da, ein Knas V'loi Si'elisha, d'o makor V'loi Si'elisha, b'mahav ha'atzma ha'kosin medaber. Meaning, it's really a kasha only on Rav Meir. Because Rav Meir told us that the reason why Ketana has no Knas is because she can't marry herself off. What does marriage have to do with getting Knas? Because it says in the Torah, V'loi Si'elisha, and V'loi Si'elisha doesn't mean that you'll be taken for a wife, it means you can give consent to marriage. So Zok the Mitzvah, and you see from over here that the Gemara assumed that the payment and the marriage are not two separate dinim. They're mamish interwoven with each other. To the point that Rav Meir limits those women that can't get Knas because they can't get married. I thought it's a separate din. The answer is not a separate din. So Zok the Mitzvah, and you see from the Gemara's flow that according to Rav Meir, only those women that are able to marry themselves over are shaykh to Knas. So what do you see? That they are Tali Zebizeh. It's not Stam two separate dinim that the Torah happened to have given. They're actually Mitla Tali. They're dependent upon each other. Very, very nashtikal Torah. But if you look in the Rishonim, it's not so clear in the Rishonim. Let's take a look over in the Ritva number 10. The Ritva has a kasha. Fact the Ritva, what's the Gemara's kasha of Eloi Si'elisha? Pirish. Lav de mashma lishna de krohachi. Says the Ritzvah, the Gemara's Kasha is not the way we keep on saying it, that you have to be able to fulfill the words of the Pasuk. Why? The Gemara has a Kasha later on. The Gemara has a kasha later on that if every time a guy's ma'anis a girl, he has a mitzvah of marrying her. Let's say he's ma'anis a mamzeris. So there's a lav, you're not allowed to marry a mamzeris. But there's an asay, v'loisi elisha. So why don't we say asay dech alois asay? Asay dech alois asay, you should have to marry the girl even though she's also to you belav. They frek the Gemara. So frek the Ritva, one second. Vim isa dehochi mashmalish nidekra. Hechi dachi lei. Frek the Ritva, I don't get it. If the Gemara's kasha of Veloisi Elisha was only those women that you can marry are in the parish of Knas, so what's the Gemara's kasha of use some creative lum that's called Aseidah Chalais Aseh? It's a gilui of the Torah that these women are not in the parish. If the Torah says, give Knas to those women you can marry and I can't marry her because she's a mamzeris, so it's a fancy way of the Torah saying she's not in the parish. So why are you coming with a kasha? Oh, Astu Aseidah Chalais Aseh. What do I mean? The Torah doesn't want this woman in the parish because she is a lav, she's a mamzeris. Vim Isa Adraba. Vim Isa the Hachi Mashmalish the Kro Hechi Dachile Adrab the Kaimla. El Mishum the Kaimal on the Kamon, the Hachi Dina, the Choshi Asuru Loi, anyone who's also to you, in a Rashad the Kainzer, you're not allowed to marry her. Mishum Hachi Armin and Hachi, Visamchin Allah Akra. So Dr. Ritva, what's the Gemara's Kasha? If the Torah went out of its way to exclude this woman from the Parsha, why are you going to try to come up with a chap to be able to marry her? Marriage is not the defining factor. Marriage is just a simon to which women the Torah wanted. Elamai, what do you see from over here? From the fact that the Torah is saying it, that's not the point. The point is that if you can't do one, then you can't do the other. The male kumt the gemara with a good kasha, but I could marry her with a lumnish twist. If I apply the rule, I say the chalois, I say I could marry her. And the male, the ritzva learned the whole gemara's kasha was: if I can't do A, I don't do B, but I could do A with I say the chalois, I say. But if you learn the gemara's kasha was those women that are subjected to marriage is who the Torah included, and those that are not the Torah didn't include. So male, the ritzva is bothered. What do you mean I say the chalois, I say? But that's the Torah told you clearly. I don't want you marrying these women. So l'chayra, this ritva is a raya that the ritva understood the other way we learned the shayla. What's the shayla? That it's not the definition of the Torah of which women are in and which women are out. It's a simple idea of those women who can get the whole parsha, both steps are in the parsha. If you can't fulfill both criteria, you're not in the parsha. So the Gemara had a good kasha. Why is the mamzeris out of the parsha? Because you can't marry her, but you could marry her with a lupa called aseh dechalei saseh. Okay. If you look at the Taisa Rid, the number 11, he's also mefurish like this. The Taisa Rid writes, on the Gemara's Kasha Veloi Sili Isha, Pirish, Be'isha Haru Yoloi, a girl who's befitting for you, Yiten Knas, you give her Knas, Demekayim Ba Veloi Sili Isha. And then you can fulfill. Then you can fulfill Veloi Sili Isha. Give me one second. Then you can fulfill Veloi Sili Isha. Avol be'isha she'ena ruyu loy, but a lady who's not fit for you for marriage, deloy mikayim ba v'loy si'elisha, and you can't fulfill v'loy si'elisha, gam min ha'knas yeh potter. Also from knas you're going to be potter. So what does it sound like from the Taisa Rid? It's not the pshat that those women that you can't marry are excluded from the parsha. It's that if I can't do the whole parsha, I don't do half a parsha. I got to be able to fulfill both components of the parsha. I got to be able to marry and pay. If I can't do the marriage, I can't do the payments. Zakter Taisirid. But an isha she'en ruli kaim adloy mekaim bo avaloy sil isha. Since I can't fulfill the second half of the equation, gam min haknas yeh potter. I'm also potter from the first. But if you look over in the Sefer HaTeres Shmuel, written by I think his name is Shmuel Rosenbaum. I think he's a Rosh Chabura in Lakewood. So he writes an interesting shtickle over. He says, what's the pshat in the Taisirid? Why is it that if I can't do knas, if I can't do Veloy Silish, I don't do Knas? So we keep on saying it's Tamik, Zer Sakasov. The Torah gave you two dinim, the Torah gave you a payment, and the Torah gave you a marriage. And if you can't do both, then you don't do either. It's a package. Why? That's the Ratzon HaTorah. Now, if you remember, we discussed this way, way back in one of the earlier shurim, we discussed that there's a possibility that the marriage itself is part of the Knas. The fact that you have to marry this girl is also a chelik of the Knas. It's not Stam two dinim. It's one big knas. The knas is a massive package. It's a financial knas, and it's a marriage knas. We penalize you that you got to give money, and then we penalize you that you got to be married to a woman that you perhaps don't want to be married to. We mentioned such a tzat. So he says like this. He says, "V'haim d'svila teisirid d'nesuim v'knas achadam elsehi." He says, "You see from this teisirid that that's takar pshat. That what? Why is it that if I can't do v'lois elisha, I don't do that?" So we kept on saying that that's what the Torah set it up. The Torah set it up as a package, and if you can't fulfill the whole package, you don't fulfill half the package. But he wants to say, no, it's tiefer than that, it's deeper. It's not stam that the Torah gave two components, and if you can't do X, you don't do Y. It's their one component. Why? He says, Yesh levar divizah pidivri hachinuch, shekosa dechiyuv nesuin havei chelik meaknas. Based on, we quoted the Sefer HaChinuch, the Chinuch says that the chiyuv to marry her is also a part of the knas. If you know that you have to be connected, he says, if that a man would think before he goes over to this girl and says to himself, you know what, I'm going to live with this woman, it's going to cost me money, it's going to cost me marriage, he'll never do it. So now it's very geschmack. Now if you can't marry her, you don't make the payment, because it's one chiyuv knas. You can't split the chiyuv down the middle. We keep on learning it's two separate dinim. There's a din to marry her. There's a din to pay money. And there's a chiddush akrav. Well, if you can't do one, you can't do the other. Which is fine. It wouldn't be so lumdish. But he's making it more geschmack. He's saying it's not stam two separate dinim, the nefradim, with a tanai that you have to have both in order to be chayiv. It's their time. They're connected to each other. They're both one chiyuv knas. When a man is ma'anis a girl, he has a massive knas with two parts. And the chiddush akrav is you can't split the knas into two. Okay. Very nice, shtickle Torah. Now there's a Taisus over here, number 12. Taisus over here by us is number 12. Taisus has the following kasha. Very, perhaps, a difficult kasha to understand. Taisus asks, Vim Toymar, Velishtoik Meloy Sielisha. In fact, Taisus, I don't get it. Why did the Torah get itself into trouble by putting in the pasuk Veloy Sielisha, which gave off the impression that you have to be able to marry her, and then we have to backtrack and figure out what do you do with all the women you can't marry? Why didn't the Torah just skip that pasuk at all? Don't say a word. Velishtik Meloy Sielisha, Veloy Yitzarech L'Hanech Rebuye. If the Torah would have never said the word Veloy Sielisha, I would never ever thought that marriage is totally knas. I would never think that if a girl's a psula, she doesn't get knas. And Shama Leinafshi, we can skip the whole Amud Gemara. Now,
yeah, but how would you know that that's even a possibility
then for marriage? Oh, Gavaldik, that tastes a pella. We'll see in a second. The Shita Mugubetz is going to ask, what are you talking about? If the Torah didn't write Veloy Sielisha, how would I know the din of Veloy Sielisha? It's one of the major components of knas. Is that A, you got to pay, and B, you got to marry her. If the Torah would have omitted that line, I would never know that you have to marry her. Oh, it's a pella to Kakasha. So what does Taisus answer? Yeshua, man, for Taisus, the Itzvich Lemedrish Veloy Sielisha Midaita. No, we learn from over here that in order to marry her, she has to consent. And if the girl doesn't consent, the marriage doesn't happen. So Frekto Abelchanan, number 13, right under it, Abelchanan brings a Shidim Mukabetz, Vekasha. Ha Itzvich Krala Mitzvah! Frekto Abelchanan, what is going on in this Taisus? Taisus come to an Akasha. Why do I need the positive of Veloy Sielisha? Let the Torah skip it. If the Torah wouldn't say Veloy Sielisha, I would never think you need to get married in the first place. And I would never think Knas and money, Knas and marriage go hand in hand, and I don't need the whole Gemara. What do you mean? How do I know there's a mitzvah of marrying her? It's a pella. So he answers the Tirch B'Shita. The Shita Gobetz answers the Kavan Masom. What was the Pshat? Tulei Lichtoiv Tihei. The Torah could have reworded its wording. What does it say in the Pasuk? To him, she should be a wife. The Torah could have wrote it a different way. The licht of tihya, I didn't have to write the lashon tihya. I will lashon acher. As I said, the shidim mukubetzes. Now,
yeah, that's very nice, except that's not what
Tosfos
says.
Right? No. He's not dealing with Tosfos so much. I'm just going to mute everyone one more time. I think we're all muted now. So Tosfos is like this. Says Dr. Bachonam, what's going on over here? Ve'ineima de pirchas hagemara. Let's go back to our original Chakira. What's the Gemara's Kasha? Was the Gemara's Kasha that you don't have Knas unless it's possible to be Mekayim in the midst of Lo Yisilisha? Like by Mechiras Amma. Like the halach is when you sell an Amma Ivriya, the Haintika Parsha, Parsha's Mishpatim, right? You can only sell an Amma Ivriya in a way where it's royally yield. Right? If it's not Shaykh Yud, you can't sell Mechira. Why? Because the Torah has in the parish of Amivriya two Chalokim. It has the option of selling her for Mamanis. And there's Da'a Mitzvah of Yud. And the Gemara makes a drasha, has to be Rol Yud. So maybe that's the way you understand here also. The Torah says Veloy Sielisha. The Torah says you pay Knas. So if you can't do Veloy Sielisha, you can't do the Knas. So he says, in Cain, Ain Shem Nafkemina Be'eze Losha Nichtava HaMitzvah. If the point of the Gemara was to tell me that if you don't get the whole mitzvah, you don't do half a mitzvah, so who cares what wording you would have used? The Shita Mekubetzes is bothered. Why did he use the Lashon Tihi? It should have said something else. And then what? So what? It's not going to make a difference. The point is still the same. If I don't get to do the marriage, I don't get to do the Knas. Who cares what the Torah would have written? What if the Shita Mekubetzes gained by his teretz? Im kenein shonaf gemina beiz the Lashon Nichtav ha-mitzvahs. Clearly, the Shita Mekubetzes wasn't going like that. He says, no, the word Havaya, the word Tihe would be that she's a Bas Kedushin. Meaning that the Torah was only Marbe in the Knosses, those women that are Shaykh for Kedushin. And if you're not Shaykh for Kedushin, you're not in the Parsha. It's Alam the Shavart. Meaning, this sounds like the other Tzad of the Chakira. That the wording of the Torah would be definite, would be Megala, that if you are a Bas Kedushin, then you're in the Parsha of Knas. If you're not a Bas Kedushin, you're not in the Parsha of Knas. Which Tzad of the Chakira is that? That's the other Tzad of the Chakira. Not the pshat of if you can't do half the parasha, you don't do the whole. You can't do the whole parasha. Here's the shaila: which women are in the parasha of Knas? Now, if the Torah would have written it a different way, I wouldn't have thought that you have to be eligible for marriage to be in the parasha. I would have thought there's a din, you have to get married, fine. But now the Torah wrote Tehei Zagre B'chonon. That means it's the Torah way of saying that I'm very particular in who actually gets Knas. Only those women that are bas kedushin, and if you're not a bas kedushin, you're out of the parasha. That was the Gemara's kash. So l'chayu, you see from this Rabbi Chonon, that Rabbi Chonon seemed to have understood like the other tzad. Okay. Let's move on. If we turn to the next page, there's an interesting Rashash. The Rashash. The Gift used to say that the Rashash was his favorite Baal Bos to learn. The Rashash was Taka Baal Bos, but the very chash of Baal Bos nonetheless. He was very, very, very big Tamil Chom. So the Rashash is bothered with the following kash. Let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara, boys. We had a din, v'nosin la'vi anayro v'loy la'vi mesa. If let's say a guy's ma'anis a girl, and then between the mesa and amod b'din, the girl nebuch dies, so the Gemara says she's potter. But if the ma'anis is potter, because it says in the Torah, v'nosin la'vi anayro, you gotta give the money to the father of the nayro, that means that she's alive and not that she's dead. So frek the Rashash the following kash. Frek the Rashash, there's a Gemara later on, it's actually a Mishnah. The Mishnah says later on that what happens if you're ma'anis a girl when she's 11 years old, she's a ketana, and you hold ketanas chayav b'knas, or 12 according to Rav Meir, but Bezdin doesn't get their act together to be amod b'din. There's a backlog in the legal courts, right? The courts were closed. And by the time you're ma'amid b'din, she already became a bageris. She turned 12 and a half, she grew her to shtei sairis, she's 12 and a half, now she's a bageris. So what happens now? So Dr. Rashash, number 14, V'nosan la'vi anayro v'lo la'vi mesa, pirish the p'tur l'gamri. In this case, she would be, in the case of la'vi anayro, if the girl dies, the ma'anis is p'tur l'gamri. The guy is a low-life thug, but he doesn't have to make any payments because there's a loophole that she is no longer alive, he doesn't have to pay anyone. V'hod the darshina gam came bizeh v'lo la'vi b'geres. Frank the Rashash, there's a taisus in Aflamites. Taisus makes the drasha that what happens if the girl becomes a b'geres between the story and the amad b'din? So there's also a p'tor. Why? Because it says in the Torah, V'nosin la'vi anayro v'loy la'vi b'geres. The payments only go to the father of anayro. You're not the father of anayro anymore. Your girl's now 12 and a half. She's now a b'geres. So in that case, there's a p'tor. V'chein p'yish rash tisham. Ba'ad zogta rashash v'afilu hochi lo'y mifte l'gamri. In that case, the guy's not off completely. Elo di dehavi. The money goes to her. So frek the rashash. I don't get it. What's the difference? If they both learned that from the same pasuk, that you have to have a naira here at the time of amad b'din, so when the girl dies, there's no naira here. When the girl becomes a begeris, there's no naira here. Why is it by the case of the girl, is the guy scot-free? By the case of begeris, he pays it to her. Why doesn't the guy have to pay it to the yarshim of the girl here also? Pay it to the dead naira. Obviously, she can't collect because she's dead, so she'll go to her yarshim. Why is over here a complete p'tur? But when it comes to the case of a begeres, it's just only a p'tor from the father, but you still chayiv to the girl. As I frek to Rashash. So
that kash only makes sense if you hold that the purpose of the kenas is because of the loss of value. If the purpose of the kenas is a deterrent, once she's gone, but I don't know.
The other way around.
Then it's a kasha.
Right.
If it's a deterrent, then it's a kasha, right. If it's for loss, then she's gone. There's no loss to pay for.
Right. And again, and just because she becomes a begeris doesn't mean it doesn't say again. It doesn't explain why begeris it goes to.
Yeah, but she still has a loss in value. She's still lying.
Right, but if there's exeris akosav that v'nosan la'avi anayru v'loy la'avi blank, so the Torah is very particular on who makes its payments to. It only goes to the father of anayru. So if there's no father of anayru here, so shouldn't it be consistent? So you're saying, So you're saying that no, the hakpadas ha'Torah is not who you give it to, but the Torah hakpada is why you're giving it. Okay, maybe.
But also, it would be a different language, because Hanara is the one we learn on not Begaris, but by the father will be La'avi, not Hanara, it will be La'avi. So it's really not, you can't even make the comparison.
Why? The Torah says, V'nosan La'avi Naira, the payment goes to the father of the Naira, and in both cases, there's no father of the Naira.
No, but by Begaris, it's Hanara to exclude a Begaris. But to exclude the father, you'd have to use a different limit of la'avi, not the naira.
No, from the word naira, I learned that a begaris doesn't get payment. So now, when I come to
But you wouldn't learn that the father doesn't get payment from the word hanara. You would have to learn that from la'avi, that there's no avi anymore.
No, there's no avi a naira over here. There's no father to a naira because there is no naira. Just like there's no father to a naira because the naira died, there's no father to the naira because the naira doesn't exist because she's not called a begaris. Meaning the status of naira changed. Either it changed because she died, or it changed because she's no longer called an Naira. That's the Rashash's Kasha. So the Rashash answers. He says, no, it's not a Kasha. He says, Gabe Misa Nami Didehav. He says, no. He says, really? By both, it's the same Gzeres HaKosef. The Gzeres HaKosef is dad doesn't get it. Who gets it? She gets it. Both by Geres, and both by when she dies. Aye, what does it mean? She gets it when she dies. Ella he ain't a bechayim. She's not alive. The knas lav mamun hula risha, and knas is not one of the type of money that could be passed down. The mele he's potter. So according to the Rashash, it comes out that when the guy is honest, the 6-year-old, and then the 6-year-old dies, and now when it comes time to pay, he's taka not potter lagamri. He's potter from paying the father because by the father it says v'nosan la'avi hanayro, and there's no father. So why don't you give it to her? The answer is you do give it to her, but it doesn't help to give it to a dead person. I give it to her Yarshim. No, Knas is not Yarshim noble. So that's off the table. But, Dr. Rashash, but when it comes to when she becomes a Begeres, there the Miyot is taken, not in the Sibas HaMechayiv. The Miyot is in who gets it, and the Miyot is dad doesn't get it. Who does? She does. So according to the Rashash, and we'll see Reb Chaim Blined the next week, Reb Chaim does not go this route, but according to the Rashash, the Pshat is that the taken the same? The exact same din. But one has a technical problem that the girl dies, and when the girl dies, there's no way to give the money to anyone, and therefore you're potter. Mashenkin by via begaris, the tour is dad is out of the equation, but she's in the equation, so maybe she gets the money.
Is there a general rule in Knas that the Yorshim can't collect?
Yes and no. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. That it's some Knasas we assume that are not needed in the Yorshim. Now, we'll start the point of where Reb Chaim gets into discussion over here. Obviously, it's a long Reb Chaim if you see on the sheet. But Reb Chaim is coming with another kasha. Reb Chaim is bothered with the Rambam, surprisingly. Reb Chaim is bothered with the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Number 15, Zakti Rambam. Mefuta anusa shloi tivo. If you have either mefuta or anusa, shloi tivo ad shebagra. That there was no tvias. There was no tvias in Bezdin until she became a begeris. Oi. Achinesis, or she got married, or Achimesoav, or the father died. Again, we're talking about a case where a girl was mefata when she was the right age. She was ma'anis when she was the right age, meaning the age where she's chayiv in the knas. But for whatever reason, the tviyah and bezdin, or the bezdin itself, didn't happen until she either became a begeris, or she got married, or the father died. So Zakti Rambam, ha'arbe dvarim, ayashloi shashallah. Then everything goes to her. The three, the oynis mefata, boishis pegam, everything goes to her. So this is what we mentioned before, that if there was by the time Amod Bedin came around, the father's out of the equation. Why is the father out of the equation? Because she became a begeris. So you can't say V'nosan Aviha Naira. So what happens? All goes to her. So, but what does it sound like from the Rambam? That everything goes to her. Not just the Knas, but the Boishus Bekam also goes to her. Everything goes to her. But then we have the next Rambam, number 16, Zakti Rambam, Bo Alehu Mesa. Let's say you lived with her, and then she died. Hareze Potur Mina Knas. You're Potur from Knas. Shenemat says in the Torah of Anoson Isha Shochev Imo Lavi Anayro, Veloy Lavi Mesa. So Reb Chaim is Medaik from this Rambam, that it sounds like the only thing you're Potur from is from the Knas. But the Boishes Upegam? Not. The Boishes Upegam is not. The Boishes Upegam is different than the Knas. So even though we make the drush of a nosan la'avia nairo, that drush is limited to what? And again, Seth, it makes your kash even stronger. Because Baish is a begam, and then she dies. Where's the Baish is a begam? She's no longer alive. But Frank.
But at least that's inheritable. That's a mominous pain.
That's a mominous, right. So Frank of Chayim, why does the Rambam, when he talks about Begeris, then we say that everything goes to her? Yet when it comes to the din of Anasan Lavi Anaira, that's only the Knas doesn't go, but yet the Baish Begam is still up for grabs. So that's what Blineda will see next week, how Reb Chaim is going to be Masber this Rambam, and by doing so, he's going to also answer up the Rosh Hashanah's Kasha, which obviously you see already where Reb Chaim is going to be going, where he's going to be Mechalik and Lomdis between what happens when the girl dies versus what happens when she becomes a Begeris. Blineda, we'll tackle that next week. Mitzvah Shem, this Tuesday night, we'll be discussing the role of Mechitzas. Not Helchus Erevin, but the Mechitza in Shul, the Mechitza at events. What exactly is the purpose of Mechitza? How hard does Mechitza have to be? When do you need a Mechitza? All those very, very touchy topics, Blineda, we will cover this Tuesday. Have a wonderful week. Be well and be safe, and be extra safe in what looks like is the beginning of another snowstorm for us here in New York. Be extra careful and extra safe as well. Be